God dreams. God dreams. He has a dream for each one of us. Every single one of us. He created us in his dream. And we can choose to live this dream or not live this dream. It's our choice. We're free. He created us free, free will, free to love. He gave us eternal life. He did not create us to die. That was not part of God's dream. He created us where there was no sin and no death. He created Adam and Eve in this dream. They're our first parents, and his dream for them was to love them and have them as companions for eternity. He dreamed us into eternal life. That's God's dream. In eternal life, where God, we're not to die, but live. And the only way is with God. Only God is eternal. So for example, the only way to have eternal life is to be with him. But all too often, we give him our back. We want what we want, and we separate ourselves from him, from the sacraments, from our baptismal promises. We separate, and we think we're still going to have eternal life. The only way to have eternal life is to be with God. It's the only way. There is no other way. Apart from God, there is no eternal life, period. But we must choose that dream. We're not forced. We're not raped. We're not kidnapped. We're offered the choice, just like Mary was offered the choice. And we have to say, yes, Lord. It's one of my issues with the sacrament of confirmation. I can confirm, the bishop can confirm all day long, but until the person says, come, Holy Spirit. What's the sacrament? It's, you haven't accepted it yet. Adam and Eve chose not to accept the grace. Their choice. They had everything. And they chose separation. And that's the only way to understand original sin. And they made this choice before they had children. So they were our parents, but they were rebels before they became our parents. That's a pretty important point. They lost eternal life. They lost paradise. And later they had children. So we were born into that reality. There was no eternal life. There was sin. There was death. That's the consequence of that. They didn't live God's dream for them. They rejected God's dream for them. Mary was chosen according to God's original dream. The church has come to know Mary as the new Eve, created just like Eve, but with no sin, no original sin. You say, well, Mary was never baptized. She didn't need to be. Mary was born without sin and therefore without the possibility of death, which makes this feast day absolutely logical and essential and necessary for our Christian understanding. Mary was free. Just like Eve was free, but unlike Eve, she chose freely be it done unto me according to your will. Free. Completely free. Mary's assumption is her participation in her son's resurrection. What is promised to all of us through Jesus' resurrection, God dreamed for every one of us. That was God's dream. And he fulfilled it with his mom. That was the promise. Now, Jesus, of course, was conceived without original sin. Jesus could only die by freely choosing to die. His death was his choice. He chose it. His mom made her choice. He made his choice. She did not choose to die. Really important for the Feast of the Assumption. This was God's dream. And Jesus said to the Father, your will be done. Every single woman who comes to John Paul II Life Center is a dream of God. Every single one of them. If she's pregnant, she carries God's dream. Just like Mary carried God's dream. This is real. This is our faith. If that child is baptized, then that child will be completely free of original sin. Like Mary, like Adam and Eve, before their rebellion. You receive women who are dreams of God, bearing God's dream, and you receive them. That's amazing. When Mary visited Elizabeth, let's look at a little context here. It would have taken, well, I've heard all kinds of estimates how many days it would have taken for Mary, even in haste, to, even as a healthy teenager, in haste to get from Nazareth to this little village in Judah, up in the mountains. So how long had Mary been pregnant? Days? She probably hadn't missed her first period. And she was told by Gabriel that her cousin Elizabeth, who was also not a mother yet, but was 6 months pregnant, and she was elderly. Those of you who are grandmothers in here, imagine your granddaughter coming to you first when she just gets pregnant. Wow. Something wonderful happened, and we gloss right over it. Elizabeth was the very first person to call Mary mother. Had never happened before. She'd never been called mother before. And that leads me to John Paul II Life Center. When you receive a young, pregnant woman, call her mother. Do you know how powerful that word is? Everybody else wants to call her all kinds of other things. Call her out as mother. That's one of the most powerful things you can do for her. Everything that you do after that flows from her acceptance of that. Call the mother. And help restore God's dream. You're doing a wonderful job. And the solemnity of the Assumption of Mary was always God's dream. It fulfills the dream. It's the completeness of Christian anthropology. It's everything we're destined to. This is a very important feast day. But we have to call these women mother.